If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. That's where we're going to be today. Chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And last week we talked a little bit about commitment. And I made the repeated the statement from Joel Osteen, and he said, "You can be committed to church and not be committed to Jesus Christ. But you cannot be committed to Jesus Christ and not be committed to church." Amen? You just can't do it. It doesn't work that way. And I ask at the very end of service, which are you committed to? And I just want us to think about that. And a lot of times I believe that our conduct will display or is a good indicator of where our commitment lies. You can have commitment to church and act a certain way, but I don't think you can have that same commitment to Jesus Christ and act that same way. So a lot of times our behavior, our motivations are great indicators of where our faith is. I talk to you guys a lot about the way we drive, and that's come up. I've had a few people say, "Thanks a lot. My spouse reminded me to slow down, and that was a good indicator of my relationship with Jesus Christ." And all I mean is, when we think about those things that we do in life, that's just one small area that's an indicator of our relationship with Jesus. So, 1 Thessalonians. I thought, well, it kind of ties in here. It had some great information from me. And it says, Paul is the author of 1 Thessalonians, and he's writing a letter to the church. They started a new church in Thessalonica, and he went away, and he wanted to come back and visit and see how they were doing. And they had a lot of questions about the new church. A lot of questions. And you can imagine, you have this new thing going on. Christianity used to be called the Way. You have this new thing going on. So you set some new people that are new followers of Jesus Christ, his disciples, and you set them to establish a church. But of course, you've always got different people coming to say, "Hey, you should do it this way. He didn't mean that. It means this." And they kept going back to the old law, and they were a lot of times confusing those, and there were some people that didn't accept it. Matter of fact, it was criminal to be talking about another king coming. Uh-oh, they're talking about another king. It's time to put you in prison. As a matter of fact, this talks about that in part of it. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. And it starts out and says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." Again, they didn't like people coming out and speaking about this new thing, this Jesus Christ, the different king than they knew, and what he could do for them. And they had a lot of conflict. "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit." They didn't have to lie about these things. They came speaking the truth, and they did it boldly. And a lot of times when people do it boldly, it makes them very easy targets for attack. "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." That's a pretty powerful statement. "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." Have we been entrusted with the gospel? Have we been given a mission? We have to take this message to other people. And when we do that, we have to do it very accurately. I believe down at Falls Creek, we did a little thing where you say something or write something on the back or say something. Any of those methods work. And by the time it got to the end person, that message, it had nothing to do with what started out at the other end of the line. It could be whispering, it could be writing, drawing a picture, whatever. It may have got through the first two or three accurately, but after that, what a mess. Take the dog out for a walk, and by the time you're done, you're talking about a flaming dragon with arrows or something. And you don't know. That message of Jesus Christ is the same thing. We have to get it from the beginning, it's right here, it's our Bibles, to the end, to that ear we want to hear. And we have to get it there accurately. Oh yeah, we're going to want to put our spin on it so it makes life a little easier for us and takes us out of our comfort zone. being a Christian isn't always about being comfortable. Yes, we have to have a balance. Yes, I know that. We have to have a balance in our life, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. It goes into waking up to get that phone call in the middle of the night when somebody says, "Man, I just don't know what to do anymore. I'm lost. Do you mind calling me at 8 a.m. when I'm up and ready to take this call?" You can't do that. You have to be ready. You have to be ready for the enemy. We just sang about that. We have to tell the enemy where we stand and who we are in Jesus Christ. We can't be that big, tall, blow-up thing that you see on the side of the road. We can't be flapping around. When that wind comes, changed by every wind of doctrine, we have to be able to stand sturdy and stand upright. We have to be ready for that. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. What are your motives for doing what you do? For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. They didn't have to go in there and lie about anything. They spoke boldly and they spoke the truth. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle. Do you mind if I have the finest room you have? They didn't do that. They didn't have to do that. And they didn't seek man's pat on the back. Pastor Appreciation Month. I appreciate that. I assure you, we don't do it for that. It's always nice to be appreciated, but we don't do it for that. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God. So they weren't just sharing the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you would become dear to us. We talked a couple weeks about getting to know one another, being involved in the lives of others. Getting to know one another. It was fascinating sitting with Paul yesterday. And he's known Pastor Jack Eldred for many, 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 many years. I asked, "How long have you known Jack?" And he said, "Oh, I can't even count the years. I don't know. It's been a long time." And I said, "Paul, I don't know much about you. And really, you kind of scared me, because you were one of the old time members, been here a long time, and I was a new guy. So I was afraid of you and your rowdy friends that sat on the back row with you." He got a kick out of that too. But I got to know him and just asked him about his life and the cattle. And how long have you been doing this? And how much did it cost back then? And this, and you can buy an acre for $2 back then. You buy a cow or a calf for $100 to $150. Now it's $1,000 to $1,500. I learned a lot from him. I learned about his old jobs. Getting to know one another. Not only imparting the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached to you the gospel of God. He was in the tent-making business. That's how he made ends meet. And that's how he got things for himself. So he wasn't a burden. He didn't go to the church and say, "Take care of me while I'm here preaching to you." He went out and did that thing during the day and night, worked both of those, so he was not a burden to the people. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, listen up, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Our behavior, our conduct has to line up with what we say. I'm committed to church. I'm just looking at empty seats for those that are committed to church, realizing next week is spring break or fall break and many will be gone. But in the general picture, If you're committed to church, let's at least fill the chairs. Committed to Jesus Christ, that's a whole different thing. Let's fill these chairs. Let's serve the people. Well, Adam, I've served in the past. I get that. Jesus doesn't say serve till you're 40 and then you can retire. You're too young to serve. Don't worry about it. We have two young men back there that were at a band contest, got home at 3 o'clock in the morning last night, and we're here at 8:45 or 8:30 this morning, serving, doing the sound, doing the computer. That's pretty amazing to me. They're pretty dang tired too. But they're here serving. Why? Because they have a job to do. The same young men will be in St. Louis next week for a few days at a band contest. Young or old, serve. Serve the house of God and the people of God in some manner or fashion. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. The first time you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, did you welcome that? Well, I've heard it many years ago. Do you still welcome that same word of God and accept it? You accept that word as truth today, like you did when you first heard it. You welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. The word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That's why I said today, remember those victories that Jesus Christ has given us, where oftentimes we want to claim that victory for ourselves. Oh, I finally got this taken care of. I finally got our finances worked through. Yeah, through Jesus Christ, who possibly gave you a job or this or that and made that money come. I was finally able to get my son or daughter straightened out. Yes, through Jesus Christ, who made you not grow weary and tired. We have to remember those victories in our life come from Jesus Christ. He allowed them. He made them happen. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. They do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Does our conduct model what we say we're committed to? Does our conduct model what we say we are committed to? If it's a church, if it's Jesus Christ, does our conduct model that? Or do we try and find ways around it? Turn to James, if you would, James chapter 5. And our conduct should also model and reflect Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, amen? Do we always feel that way? Maybe not. James chapter 5. As you're turning there, 1 Peter talks a lot about conduct as well. He talks about us being reconciled to Jesus Christ. He talks about being obedient children. And it says, just stay in James chapter 5. I'm just reading 1 Peter. And it says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And he talks about different conduct. Knowing that you were redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. Anyone ever feel like you have some aimless conduct going on in your life? Pointless for sure. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 12, and says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." It talks about our conduct. Be patient. Have patience in life. At that red light, at that driver in front of you, behind you, beside you. I do struggle there, I'm just telling you. But I'm asking God to help me with that. I'm also asking Him to help those other drivers that struggle. But God tells us in our conduct to be patient. Verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren. Why not? Lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Great. Now, I not only have to be patient, but I can't grumble about those things that frustrate me. And it tells me why. It tells me why, lest you be condemned. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. I have to be patient. I can't grumble about it. Now I have to let my word be my word. My yes has to be yes and no, a no. Okay, this Christianity stuff is getting pretty tough already. I think I'll back out. We can't. And that's why God wants us to get together with one another to help lift each other up. We're going to slip and fall. I'm going to not be patient behind the lady at the green light that just can't seem to understand it means go. My wife is there to remind me of that. That didn't go well either with me. Why am I telling you that? Because we all have shortcomings. We all have shortcomings, but we have to strive to get better at that. We have to strive to get better. Flip back just a little bit from James 5 to Hebrews chapter 12. Our conduct, again, it's talking about our conduct. Be patient. Do not grumble. Let your yes be a yes and your no, no. Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather may be healed." We want to take those areas in our lives that need improvement, fixing, correcting. And I knew a man once that had a foot that was turned in and he walked with a limp. And I said, "If you'll just do these exercises, that will cure that." He said, "I never felt like doing that. So I have to walk like this now." But had he straightened that out and done those exercises, that would have straightened him out. And it's the same things in our spiritual lives where we have things that aren't quite right. God's saying, "I need you. I need you to do these exercises. I need you to do this in faith, in perseverance." So you can get stronger and get better. I don't know if you guys know this, but rock climbing downtown is not for an older, unfit man. I'm here to tell you, it's not for an older, unfit man. I went with my son yesterday, Spencer, and it didn't go well for me. It didn't. But a couple things went well. And whoever came up with the idea to hang upside down and crawl upward at an angle, who would even put themselves in that position? My son, my daughter, my son-in-law. It's crazy. I grab the handles like this. I can stand on the ground and hold them, and I can get 1 foot off the ground. But when I tried to put two up, forget it. I just fell back on the pads. I said, this isn't made for normal people. So I got to another thing. Spencer helped me out. It was Santa's chimney. I called it Satan's chimney. I'll go with that. Okay. And it was pretty crazy. And so I got up and said, okay, lower me. And they lowered me back down. Then I saw my son-in-law do it. And I'm like, oh, you can do it like that. I said, let me try again. I got a little further, but not much. Now, this is what's important. I went back again, and I said, I just want to get as far as I can. I want to do this. And I got a certain ways, and I got cramps and places and all over, and it was just nuts. And I said, lower me. And who's at the helm but Spencer? And what do you think he said? Nope, not doing it, not happening. Lower me. Nope, you can do it. Lower me. Nope. So what did I do? I had to keep trying, so I went a little further. And again, lower me. Nope, not happening. This happened 4 times until I finally got to the top. And I thought, that's what it's about. It's about keep trying. There's some things that, you know, the upside down thing, it's not happening. Gravity was working against me here. As well as old manitis and muscles that I'd never used and those type of things. But the other thing, I kept trying. And I kept trying. But if it was left up to me, I'd have been done. I had a ruthless cheerleader that wouldn't let me down. I couldn't do anything. I'm strapped to this thing. I have no control other than going up. He had complete control of that, but he stayed there and encouraged me to do it. Did the same thing at Falls Creek I shared with you guys a couple years ago, and it was the same thing. He said, you can do it, you can do it. I got up to the top and I said, you didn't think I could do it. Nope. But he didn't tell me that. And it's important that as we get involved in the lives of each other, we do that. We're cheerleaders for one another. Now, there may be a time for honesty to say, you're going to hurt yourself. But there's another time to just say, keep doing it. Keep doing it. I'm not ready to do a triathlon by any means, but I'm ready to get some things going. My point being, when that foot's there and someone's saying, you need to straighten it out and do those exercises. We have to be diligent to do that. We have to keep pressing on. When we know we have slipped up, and we've drunk just one too many drinks, and we've gone to the casino and spent one too many dollars, and we've clicked on that computer one too many times on an image we shouldn't be going to look at, and we've done those things, and we've called an old friend that we used to hang out with that we knew were bad news, but we just wanted to call and see how they were, and we went and hung out with them and did some things we shouldn't have done. Jesus Christ says, man, do me a favor. Come back to me, would you? Would you just come back to me and ask for forgiveness? We're going to look at that in just a minute here. So that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Our lives are the same things. I love this. Pursue peace with all people, with holiness. without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. And by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. We have to be so careful when that root of bitterness springs up. And I shared with you guys about my aunt who said, I wanted to get revenge. This is a very, according to her, very Christian woman. But she wanted revenge. We cannot let a root of bitterness spring up and get in the middle of us, not in our families, not in our marriages, not with our kids, between kids and parents, parents and kids, not with our in-laws, not with our co-workers, not with our fellow students, not within the church. Wherever it is in your life, if a root of bitterness is in there, man, that just gets entangled in everything. It says, we don't want to be like Esau. Just a little morsel of food, and I'll give you my birthright. But it says, afterwards, he was rejected. Why? For he found no place for repentance. I think churches today, a lot of times, kind of miss that repentance. And a lot of times, we've asked for it maybe up here. I really don't care where you do it. I don't care where I do it, so long as we repent. When we know we have sinned against God, we have to repent. And to just think, nah, God knows I'm sorry. Yeah, He wants to hear it from you. He found no place for repentance. Flip back a few chapters to Hebrews 5, and we'll close with that. And all this, again, when that root of bitterness comes up, that's our conduct. That's how we handle that. We have to learn to talk to one another in peace. Most of you guys know I am the customer service manager at my jobs for 7 stores. You can imagine the calls I get that get escalated up to me. On more than one occasion, I've had people call and they're screaming so loudly, I cannot understand them. And I finally just say, you'll need to call me back when you can calm down. I don't know what you're saying. Good day. And I have to hang up. I don't know what they're saying. And this is about furniture, by the way. Okay, this is wooden and fabric. This is furniture. And I had a lady do that Friday. And it got to me, and she just let loose. I said, ma'am, I understand. I'm sorry to hear that. Boom, just kept going. Ma'am, if you, boom, kept going. And I finally said, ma'am, you're going to have to stop talking long enough for me to offer a resolution. I had a resolution for her, whether she liked it or not, I don't know. But I had one, but I finally had to say, you need to quit talking. Every note that I'm reading from all our conversations with you, we ended up hanging up on you, or you hung up on us because you lost your ever-loving mind. She had some medical issues, and I said, I think you're causing a lot of this yourself. You know, and I was dancing that fine line of trying to be helpful and trying to be... And I finally got her caregiver on the phone and said, excuse me? I said, well, who am I talking to now? She said, this is her caregiver. I said, will I be giving you direction to her? Because I just want to talk to one person from here on out. I'm not going to repeat myself. And I said, you need to tell her to stop talking long enough for a resolution. And I said, I have a resolution. I'll have it to you by the end of today. My point being, when these people get so angry, they keep going and going and going. They don't slow down long enough to have a resolution. And we need to be able, every once in a while, be still and know that I'm God. And we have to stop talking, sometimes stop praying, stop condemning, stop judging long enough to let God say, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to stop and listen to me. Because I've got a resolution, but you haven't stopped running around like a nut with your head cut off to listen to the resolution. Oh my God, the enemy. Oh my God, my life. Just stop it and listen to me because I have a resolution, but you just need to be still long enough for that to happen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again, though, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. We should have teachers in this church today that can teach our young people, that can teach our older people, that can teach. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, but for so many of us, we have to go back and have someone teach us again. You see, we've come to need milk again and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Our conduct should match what we say we're committed to. If we're committed to the church or Jesus Christ, then we ought to be in this thing a little bit more often than we are. Amen? You guys know it. I know it. We just need to get past it now. Whether you think you can or you can't, we need to get past it. I didn't think I could climb that dang Santa's chimney that I call Satan's chimney. But somebody believed in me and made me do it. Oh, it wasn't graceful by any means. You know what I'm talking about. It was pretty bad. But we have to gather together week after week so we can help one another. What is it about this that you don't like? What is it about this that you don't understand? Well, there's lots of things. Great. Find someone and let's work through it. And let's understand it. And let's get our lives healthy. Let's take our lame feet and get them corrected where we can walk straight and narrow paths. Let's know who we are in Jesus Christ so when the enemy comes, we're not that big tall tube guy in the wind flopping around. We can say, man, enemy, I meet you right here, but you're not coming past here. And we can go toe to toe. But this time, Jesus and I are going to take the victory on this one. You see, you've beat me before. Satan, we've danced before and you've beaten me. Yeah, and you made me feel bad about it too. And you told me that I can't do it and I can't overcome that. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? Church, we are a solid body. We are a wonderful body of Christ. We are a wonderful body of believers. And I appreciate you guys so much. I love you guys and I appreciate you. And we can win the battle to where it won't be a battle every day. Sometimes we wake up and there's just a battle every day. We can get beyond that. And we can help one another out. And we can get to know things about each other. And we can love one another. There were things in the Old Testament I was reading this morning. And it said, when you come across an ox that your enemies, it's not finders keepers. When you find your enemy's ox, guess what you got to do? You got to take it back to them. Let's learn to do the right thing, amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word today. God, I ask that you help us just form our conduct to line up with our commitment. Lord, help us to find out if we're committed to the church or Jesus Christ or neither. God, we may just be believers, just committed to the idea that we're believers and that's it. But Heavenly Father, draw us to a commitment. Even if it's to the church first and Jesus Christ second, help draw us to that commitment. Help draw us to that connection. And then God, help our conduct throughout the week. At home with our family, Lord. We can be so short-tempered with our own families and our own household. Sometimes we treat strangers better than our own family and co-workers better than our own family. God, help us to love one another. Just that simple message of the gospel of showing grace and mercy. Not like the Pharisees that were legalistic and prideful men, but men and women that love one another. God, help us draw stronger as a body of Christ, as a body of believers. Help us become teachers to one another. Help prepare us, Lord, for the equipping of the saints so that we can go out of this place and do mighty works in your name. Today, if you're here and you just feel a calling to change your life, you don't have to come up here right now. All I want you to do is just raise your hand, allow me to pray for you. If you don't want to raise your hand, just acknowledge that within yourself, Lord. Just raise your hand so I can pray for you. There you go. Thank you. All right. All right, Father, thank you. God, we know that sometimes this is just a place that we're not comfortable doing that. Just prick our heart, Lord, and let us know we need to change. And let us talk with somebody afterwards to change our lives. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.